Let's turn our Bibles to 2 Timothy tonight, chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We'll begin with verse number 1. 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning with verse number 1, God tells us, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Father, we thank you for your word, and as we consider just a few simple thoughts tonight, we ask your blessing upon us in Jesus' name. Amen. This evening I thought I would bring a message just simply entitled "A Good Soldier." With the Baptist Boys Battalion promotion tonight, I thought with the military theme of that program, I thought I would keep on with that same theme with the message. And this is a good message, not just for the young men, though it is a good message for them. It's also a good message for all of us, no matter whether we're male or female. I was going to say no matter what our gender is, but seeing how Google gives you over, I forget what it is, about 60 options for your gender. Anymore, you have to be specific. The Bible gives us two, male and female. And so it doesn't matter if you're male or female, and it doesn't matter whether you're young or not so young anymore. This is a good reminder for all of us to be a good soldier, because we're all in the Lord's army. Whether we realize we've signed up, whether we want to be a part of it or not, if we're saved tonight, if we're on our way to heaven, we're in the Lord's army. And He expects us to be a part of that army and be a good soldier. And so let's look at just a few things about being a soldier from this passage of Scripture. First of all, why should we be a good soldier? Why is it important for us to fight the good fight? Why is it important for us to stand? Why is it important for us to serve in God's military? Well, He answers that question for us specifically in verse number 2. And then He sums it up in verse number 3 when He says, "Thou therefore endure hardness." He says, this is what it's all about. This is why you've got to stand. This is why you've got to put up with the things in life that Christians have to put up with, and not give in and not back down, and to not compromise on any of the biblical truths and biblical doctrines and biblical values. He says you cannot compromise. And the reason for it is given to us in verse number 2. This is the Sunday school theme verse. "The things that thou hast heard of me," the Apostle Paul is saying to Timothy, his son in the faith, "the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses." In other words, he's saying the things you've heard me preach, the things you've heard me teach, all the instruction that I gave to you personally, but to all the churches and all the other men that followed me on this evangelistic team, all that instruction, all those things you heard in public, and there's other men to stand up and keep you accountable. He says, all those things, he says, the same commit thou to faithful men. He says, Timothy, you take those things you've learned, and you endure hardness to maintain those things. You stand in those things by God's grace. He alludes to that in the first verse. He says, by God's grace, you don't change a thing. And not only do you not change a thing, but then you teach it to the next generation. You teach it to any and to all who will hear, to any and all who will listen. You teach them the cardinal doctrines of the faith. You teach them that there is one God who created all things in this universe. You teach them that He gave us His Word, His love letter to mankind that we call the Bible, and that He gave it by divine inspiration, that there's absolutely no error within this book, no contradiction within the Bible, even though it took 1,400 years to write and was written by 40 human beings. It had one author, and that was the Holy Spirit of God. It was God-breathed. He says, you teach these things. He says, you teach them that Jesus Christ is the second person of the Trinity, that He is the Son of God, and that He did leave heaven to come to earth, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life. When He was in His public ministry for about 3 years, you teach them the miracles He did. You teach them the things that He taught as He explained the Old Testament Scriptures. He said, Timothy, you heard me teach these things. Now you teach others. He says, Timothy, you teach them
that Jesus Christ is coming back again soon. You teach them that it's not just a figment of the imagination or a pie-in-the-sky type of a hope, but that He promised He would literally and bodily return to this earth and set up His millennial kingdom, a thousand-year reign, out of Jerusalem. Timothy, you heard me teach these things. You teach the next generation. He says, Timothy, now you heard me teach about Christian behavior. You heard me teaching that a Christian should never lie. Now you teach them that a Christian should never lie. You heard me teach that a Christian should never deceive people. That a Christian should never, should always be a hard worker and a good citizen. You teach them that a Christian should never cuss, and a Christian should never smoke, and a Christian should never drink. You heard me teach among witnesses. Now you teach them. Said, you heard me teach that a Christian should never be a thief. A Christian should never steal. Timothy, you heard me teach these things. Now you teach them to the next generation. Because all these things are sin, and a Christian should live a holy life, a sanctified life. You heard me teach these, Timothy. Now you teach the next generation. So you endure hardness in order to teach these things to the next generation so that there'll be a godly example once you die. You see, we're not going to live forever. We don't know when Christ is coming back again. And wouldn't it be a pathetic thing if we were the last generation of Christians this world ever knew? Wouldn't that be a pathetic thing? Because that means that we were given the baton in this relay of life, and it was our turn to run, and we just said, forget this. Dropped the baton and walked away. What would that mean for our kids and our grandkids and our great-grandkids? You see, we need to be a good soldier because the next generation needs it. They're growing up in a society that tells them it's okay to drink. They're growing up in a society that unbelievably tells them it's okay to use drugs. A society that says it's okay to steal. A society that says it's okay to lie. But the Word of God still says, thou shalt not, to all the above and more. That the world is telling them it's okay, and our young people are being taught these things, wrong things, that's going to ruin their lives and destroy their relationship with God. And if they don't hear the truth from us, and they don't get their hearts right, they're never going to live a life for God that He wants them to live. They're never going to experience the blessings of God that He wants them to have. So we need to be good soldiers. Young men, you need to be good soldiers. Because the world needs us to. Now, how can we be a good soldier? Now, we've already talked about teaching the next generation. But the first half of verse number 4, he gives us a second thing here. How to be a good soldier. That was why to be a good soldier. This is how to be a good soldier. He says, no man that warreth entangleth himself in the affairs of this life. You realize the affairs of this life have ruined more Christian lives than anything else? These are things that aren't necessarily sin. These are things that are more a philosophy, a way of thinking. In 1 John chapter 2, God warns us not to love the world nor the things that are in the world. For the love of the world is not of God. And I just quoted that wrong, but you get the idea of what that verse says. If you love the world, you don't love God. James puts it very clear the same way. If you love the world or you're a friend of the world, you're the enemy of God. And that's exactly what he's talking about here. He's talking about a mentality. He's talking about a way of thinking. He's talking about a philosophy of living. Getting entangled in the things of the world. You see, too many Christians have ruined their Christian life over sports. An example that I use, I've used it here before, but when I was in Bible college, my last 2 years, Amy and I were helping out at a smaller church. And the pastor had 3 boys and 1 daughter. And the youngest son was a tremendous athlete. He really was. And at the time that I was there, he was playing baseball for Malone College. And he was their starting shortstop, a good baseball player. But do you know what that meant for him to play on that team? That meant he couldn't be in church on Sunday. Is that a right thing to do? Now, is it sin to play baseball? No, it's not sin to play baseball. But to miss church is. You see, he's getting entangled in the things of the world. So many parents can't have their kids or even themselves in church on Wednesdays because their kids are playing sports, or they can't be in church on Sundays because they have practices. That's getting entangled in the world. If we're getting entangled in the world, we can never be a good soldier. I've known other Christians that have gotten entangled in the job. Entangled in the world because the philosophy is make all you can make so that when you retire, you've got this great big nest egg. And so they don't have time to serve God. They don't have any energy left to serve God because they're so busy, and they take jobs that take them out of work because it pays higher. That's being entangled in the world. These are things that a Christian shouldn't be concerned about. God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these things will be added to us. But if we're focused only on these things, God says you're entangled in the world and we're going to miss His blessings. We're not able to be a good soldier. These are good things, important things in life. But nevertheless, things that will keep us from being a good soldier. You know, when Philip's in training, they take his phone away. He can't have contact with the outside world because as they're training him, they want him to be able to focus on the job at hand. You see, they don't want him being entangled in the world. That cell phone is entangled in family issues, entangled in this and that and the other thing. And so they take it away. Now, God doesn't do that. We have to discipline ourselves to have a spiritual mindset, to be concerned about the things of God and put them first in our lives so that we can be a good soldier. Now, what will motivate us to do that? Think about this, because this, for us, is a hard thing. People look at me like I'm look at me cross-eyed, like I'm crazy when I say stuff like this. But here's why. The motivation is in the second half of verse number 4. And that's our third point. We've got the why. Teach others. The how, don't get entangled. The motivation is simply to please our Savior. The second half of verse number 4 says that He may please Him who hath chosen Him to be a soldier. If we really come to grips with what it took for God to save us, if we really came to grips with that, understanding what we were before salvation. I don't care if you're saved when you're knee-high to a grasshopper, if you're saved as an adult. It doesn't matter. You're in the same boat. If you really understood the depths of sin and the sin nature, and that God, who received all the worship of creation, stepped into that creation to be despised, to be rejected, to be scorned, to be mocked, to be beaten, and then to die on the cross. Such a cruel death. Today they are crying foul on lethal injection, saying that's an inhumane way to put a murderer to death. They've already pretty much outlawed the electric chair. What they want to do is completely do away with the death penalty. I wonder what they would say about the cross if we brought that one back. Because the Romans had designed the cross to give the greatest amount of suffering and prolong the death as long as possible to deter criminals from doing, or someone who might be tempted to be a criminal, to keep them from doing it. Because they knew if they got caught, they were going to go through this torture of the cross. And God did that for you. Because it was the only way. You remember in the garden, He said, if this cup pass. He said, if there be any other way. Because He went to the cross, we know there was no other way. We need to come to grips with what it cost to purchase our redemption. What God did as He demonstrated His love to you and to me. Because if we understand how much He loves us and how much He was willing to pay to purchase our redemption so we can enjoy heaven for all eternity, our natural response will be to please Him. Our natural response will be to please Him. And that will motivate us to be a good soldier. But the problem is, so often we take it for granted because we weren't there at the cross. We didn't see the suffering. We read about it in the Scriptures. We don't meditate on it and grasp the significance of what happened and what took place there. We don't feel our sin is that bad because we compare ourselves with others, which God says is not wise. But we see we're not as bad as so-and-so is, so my sin's not all that bad. And we have all these thoughts as the devil tries to tempt us into taking our salvation for granted. And because we take it for granted, we get ourselves entangled in the world. Because we're not as concerned about pleasing the One who died in our place. Now, if you came down with an incredibly rare disease that had absolutely no cure except one, and that would be a complete blood transfusion from another person. Take all of their blood, which meant their death, so that you could live. If you had a rare disease like that and someone stepped forward and said, I've got a matching blood type, I'm willing to give you all my blood to live. How would you feel towards that one? After that was all done and you were healthy and had a number of years ahead of you and that person had died, would you talk bad about them? And think about this. Would you take for granted what they had done for you? You see, we sometimes miss, because it happened so many years ago, that this is exactly what Jesus did for you. Exactly what He did for me. When we realize this, it's only natural for us to desire to please Him. We lose the desire, though we would choose to, we would desire to please other people, all of a sudden that pales into insignificance in order to please this One who loved us so much He gave His life on the cross of Calvary. That He shed His blood so that you could have life. You see, if you can grasp that, you'll be a good soldier. But if you don't grasp that, then you're going to have difficulty with this worldly philosophy and you get entangled in the world and it's going to keep you from being a good soldier. But the world needs good soldiers today. We live in such a contradictory to the Scriptures society that they need to have bright, shining lights, people that are willing to stand up and be counted, that aren't going to care about what other people think, what other people say. They're going to hand them a gospel tract and not be embarrassed by it and say, here, this could change your life. This is the way to heaven if you'll just do what it says. People that aren't ashamed of the gospel of Christ, realizing it is the power of God unto salvation. We need to take these things and teach them to the next generation in order to please our Savior. How about you? What kind of a soldier are you tonight? Are you a soldier that's gotten entangled in the things of the world? Or are you a soldier that is focused on pleasing your Commander-in-Chief, the Lord Jesus Christ? Father, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the challenge of this Scripture. Father, we all understand the military to an extent. Those that served understand it a great deal more than I do. But Father, help us all tonight to grasp this concept of being a good soldier of Christ, that we might please You with all that we do, that we might pass on the faith once delivered, uncompromised, unadulterated, to the next generation. We'll thank You for what You'll do in Jesus' name. Amen.